Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In John chapter 8, Jesus Christ is having a discussion with Pharisees. And he has made a statement in verse 32. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They responded. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, you know that verse. Verse 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." When people get saved, some saved people experience an immediate deliverance from sins. Sins like drugs and alcohol preeminently are sins that you'll hear people say, "God just delivered me from that." Sometimes tobacco, "God just delivered me from that." And others experience what amounts to be a hard-fought battle to gain victory over sins. And the question is, why the difference? Why do some get an immediate deliverance and some don't? What's that all about? Well, we want to study that today, because here Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So what is that? What does that amount to? How does that freedom manifest itself in your life and in my life? Well, first of all, when you're saved, you are indeed free from sin. That's the case. That's what the Lord said right here. When you're saved, you are free from sin. Jesus freed you from the bondage of sin. At salvation, in Romans chapter 6, you might want to turn there first. Romans chapter 6, when you get saved, at the moment you get saved, your old man is crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6, we'll just pick it up with verses 6 and 7. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." There you got it right there. At salvation, our old man is crucified with Christ, and we are freed from sin. That's what he said. He that is dead is freed from sin. And our old man is crucified with him. Now, for some people, this freedom from sin, that's a doctrinal truth right there. For some people, this freedom from sin manifests itself in an immediate deliverance from certain obvious sins. And that deliverance is so profound, it's so radical, that it is comparable to the deliverance the man in the Gadarenes experienced in Mark chapter 5. If you go back to Mark chapter 5, remember that fellow, Jesus Christ found him. He was in the tombs. He had an unclean spirit called Legion. And when the devil came out of that man, there were a couple thousand swine that ran violently down a steep place and were choked in the sea. Remember that guy? All right. He dwelt in the tombs in Mark chapter 5, verse 3. No man could bind him. He, in verse 5, up there in the mountains, in the tombs, was crying and cutting himself with stones. So he was in a bad way. Plus, this man didn't have any clothes on. All right. When Jesus Christ got the devil out of him, and those swine were choked in the sea, the people that were there fled. They told everybody in the city and in the country what had just happened. Everybody came out to see what was done. And when they got there, Mark chapter 5, verse 15 says, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Do you see that? That man, nobody could tame him. Here he is sitting. I've run around naked, now he's clothed. And more importantly, he's in his right mind. As some people get saved, and I mean the transformation is instantaneous. They're like, wow, what just happened to you? For others, the freedom from sin manifests itself through resisting and striving against sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. In other words, they don't get that deliverance. What they get is a fight. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, I realize that passage is in Hebrews, and Hebrews is written to the Jews and has a very strong tribulation context here. But there are a lot of other verses we use in this passage, this chapter as well, like Hebrews 13:4 and Hebrews 10:25 and Hebrews 2:3 and some other things like that. So when you read that passage right there, he says there's some of us that resist unto blood, striving against sin. What is that? Why one gets delivered and the other has to seem to fight so hard against it? Why is it that freedom doesn't manifest itself in an immediate deliverance? Well, let's go through and talk about some other scripture, and let's talk about what happens in the lives of some people, and I believe we'll understand the answer to that question. Some men are delivered. When they get saved, they're just delivered from sins. But listen, they must be careful to, quote, sin no more. Go back with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, the Lord shows up in Jerusalem, and there is a man there who is impotent. And he had this infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus told him in verse 8, John chapter 5, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And he immediately, see that in verse 9? Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, the Jews, of course, right? They start to accuse him because it was the Sabbath day. And they start questioning how in the world Jesus Christ could be God manifest in the flesh and tell this guy to take up his bed and walk. Well, look at verse 14. After that little exchange, look at verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. And he was. For 38 years he hadn't walked. Now he's up and walking. Then he says in verse 14, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. You see that? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So when men get delivered, here's a guy that's on drugs and he gets saved, and I mean that right then, from that moment, he has no more desire for the drugs. He just breaks with it. Men who have been delivered at salvation from the power of certain sins that they have in their lives must be careful not to go back to those sins. You see, quitting those sins for them didn't require a fight. I mean, their freedom was just handed to them. They got saved, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. God just took it away from them right there on the spot. That may be your testimony. Well, you know what? Because there was nothing at stake here. I mean, it was just, you just got the freedom right there. Listen, in that case, it is very easy to go back to your old sins. It's very easy for someone who's been delivered like that to go back to their sins. It's easy come, easy go. You know what it's like? It's like the different attitudes toward the assets of a company between the founder of the business, who sweat and toiled long and hard to build the business, and then the son, who had the now successful business handed to him. You know, that son has no appreciation for all the hard work it took to build that business. And he's going to generally be much more careless with the assets of that company than the man who built the business. You know that. That's not always that way, but that's the general rule. Why? Because he doesn't have any sweat in it. It's all dumped in his lap, and it may all be worth millions of dollars. He's like, woohoo, I'm going to go buy me a Rolls Royce. He didn't have to sweat and save the pennies and stay up late and do all that stuff. And so when you have a person who is delivered from sin just like that on the spot, sometimes they look back there and say, well, that's pretty easy, and think maybe I'll dabble in that again. And then when I'm, you know, dabbled in it again, God will just take it away from me again. I know a number of men and women who were delivered from tobacco or drugs or alcohol, and then it was so easy afterwards, they went back to those sins. And when they did, boy, did they ever get the shock of their lives. They got really backslidden. And you know what they found? They found it harder to quit those sins later than before. And what happened is they didn't appreciate what God had done for them. And now they've got a real fight on their hands. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, I realize when you're in 2 Peter chapter 2, you're in the context, you're in a chapter that is dealing with false teachers and false prophets or false preachers in verse 1. I realize that. And when you get to the end of the chapter, you're not dealing with sheep. You're dealing with dogs and sows. And so it's real evident in 2 Peter chapter 2 that the main direction of this seems to be addressed to people who aren't even saved, okay? Dealing with false teachers and preachers and dealing with dogs and sows rather than the children of God and sheep. But you know something? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, there is truth in one of these statements here that applies to us. Listen, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, while they promise them liberty, this is the people that are appealing to your lust, while they promise you liberty, that is, you have the liberty to do these things, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Do you see that thing? Now, if you apply that, and I believe if we sat here a while and discussed this passage, I believe you could, or I wouldn't even be mentioning this. If you apply this to a saved person, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. There is truth in that statement. Because I have seen these folks that were delivered from sin that went back into it. They escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They went back into it. They got entangled in it again. And I'm telling you what, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I've seen it. And you probably have too, or you may have experienced it. What happens is they go back to their old sins. And then you know what? They can't quit. That's what happens. They keep doing those things till they die. It's like they can't ever get the victory. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment, but let's go to the next class of person that gets saved. Some men are delivered. But when you're, listen, if God has delivered you from something, don't you ever go back to that again. You get that stuff in you again, and you are going to find you got a fight you do not want and may not win. All right, here's the other category, if you will. Some men, they don't get delivered. And I say men, I'm talking about men or women. They've got to resist and strive against their sins until they finally get the victory. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 as an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verses 3 through 6. And I'm speaking very practically here. In other words, if you want to argue doctrinally about some things concerning our new life in Christ and so forth, I understand that. But what I want to say to you is this. Think in terms of what you see men and women experience with sin in their lives. And you'll find people who get saved, and they are freed from their sins. But, boy, it is like pulling teeth for them to be able to get that sin out of their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, there's a guy right there that's fighting with the weapons of warfare to pull down strongholds and get his thoughts and other things that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God brought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And he says it's a warfare. We do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, that's not an overnight delivery. That's not an instant, immediate delivery. They're freed from sin, no doubt about it. But to experience that freedom, they've got a war. And they've got to fight with their weapons of warfare until they pull down the strongholds. It seems like these guys are in a constant fight. And you know, there are certain sins like pornography or, you know, wicked imaginations where you're playing over things in your mind, or certain kinds of drugs that really appeal to your mind that have the mental addictions. Are just a few of the sins, certainly not an exhaustive list, but these are just a few of the sins that can be very difficult to shake. And you know why? Because they are embedded deep in your heart, and they're embedded deep in your mind. And so you gotta fight. That's why it's called a warfare. Now, the fellow who has to fight his way to freedom by God's grace, you know what he's done, or she's done? Put some sweat in the battle. That's how they gain their freedom. He's strengthened by the Lord, no doubt about it, but he has to fight. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Look at that thing in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The whole armor of God. You're having to stand in a fight with the whole armor of God against the wiles of the devil. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You've got to be able to withstand in the evil day and to stand. And you have all this armor, the loins girt about with truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. You know what, that's not a guy that's just sitting here going, well, God delivered me from all that. That guy's in a battle. Paul told us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Well, then, what's he talking about? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm telling you, you look at somebody and say, well, I got saved and I got delivered right away, and it's just pie simple since then. And you're thinking, how in the world is that possible? I'm having to work this stuff out with fear and trembling. God's working on the inside. I'm having to fight with the whole armor of God. I'm having to put up this fight with a good fight of faith, and I've got a war against these strongholds in my body. Well, man, when you start thinking about that, let me tell you something. Because of the effort that this saint has put into the battle, you know what? He is very reluctant to give up the ground he has gained. He's more reluctant to give up that ground he has gained than the fellow who has been delivered from his sin. If he has to fight his way out of the ditch that he created for himself when he got into that sin, and he has gained some ground and he's getting closer to the top, brother, for him to want to backslide and go back into the bottom of that ditch, he has to look back over all that ground he just claimed. He's like, there ain't no way. The price of that thing is way too high. I'm not about to go back into that sin. Because he knows what it took to get through the trials and to get through the temptation, and he's not willing to give up all that ground to go back to his old life. The price is just too high. So, I realize when you're saved, the Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hey, it is absolutely true. That's true. When you're saved, you're freed from sin. And some men are actually delivered right there on the spot from certain of their sins. Other men have to strive against their sins and work out their salvation, because God's working on the inside of them to get some victory. Let me say something to you, and this is very important. If you haven't been delivered from some sin in your life, don't wait to be delivered to deal with your sins. This is the message right here. Listen very carefully. If you haven't been delivered, don't wait to be delivered to deal with your sins. And if you have been delivered, don't go back to your sins. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Just, you know, one verse. There's several. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. What does he say? He said, mortify, therefore, what are that? The deeds of the body. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Romans 8, 13. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You do that through the Spirit of God. God, listen, God has given you everything you need to enjoy the freedom from sin that Jesus has given you. In John chapter 8, where we took our text, you know, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He says in verse 32, John 8, 32, he says this. What does he say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, God has given you in the Bible. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God has given you in the Bible everything you need to enjoy the freedom from sin that Jesus has given you. But you know something? Some people never find that freedom. And you know why? Because they wait to be delivered. They never find the freedom because they wait to be delivered. They're not willing to strive against sin to get the victory. They just sit there in their sin and say, well, when God delivers me from this sin, then I'll quit. Two smokers that I knew used to ask for prayer. They'd call me and ask for prayer. Come by the church and see me and ask for prayer that God would deliver them from smoking. That was what they asked. They pray that God will deliver me from smoking. And you know what I did? I counseled them to quit smoking and trust the grace of God to give them the strength to resist the temptation to smoke. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I said, quit and trust his grace. I told them from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, to put off the old man and put on the new man. Ephesians 4, 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, just put it off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But you know what? They wouldn't do it. And you know why they wouldn't do it? Because they wanted God to deliver them from smoking. And so they went through years of waiting on God to deliver them and never dealing with, you know, just stopping and trusting the grace of God and every other thing that God has given them in the Bible to gain victory over those sins. Now, when they were each on their deathbeds with terminal cancer, terminal lung cancer, then they testified to me that God had finally delivered them from smoking and that now we have the victory. Doesn't it seem strange to you that God would wait to deliver them until their sin had all but killed them? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I didn't believe it then. You know what I believe? I believe their death was a price too high, and that's what convinced them that now they had to quit. Of course, it was too late. The cancer they had was terminal. Don't you see that what we've talked about today is the reason the Lord doesn't deliver most of us from our sins when we get saved? God wants us to learn how to use what He's given us in the Bible to turn away from sin and start living for Him. So, if you have ever felt envious toward a friend who professes to have been delivered from their sin and you're saying, God, why didn't God do that for me? Don't envy him. Don't envy her. Instead, walk in the Spirit. You know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do that. And let the Lord show you how to enjoy the freedom from sin that you have in Christ. Walk moment by moment in the light of God's Word and in dependence upon God. And you know what? He will guide you away from sin and into His love. That's where the victory is. The victory is in Jesus Christ, just like He said in John chapter 8, verse 36. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.